Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew continues in the Bible series in the book of James with this sermon entitled, The Christian's Duty, A Prayer and Praise, preached August the 10th, 2014.
I want to speak to you from one verse. In Greek text, it has only 8 words. James 5:13 speaks about our duty of prayer and praise in all occasions of our Christian life. In this fallen world, true believers in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. If you are not persecuted, you are not a Christian, because you are not living a Christian life for the world to persecute you. The whole world, you read today, lies under the control of the evil one. All unbelievers are children of the devil. And as Cain killed and murdered his brother Abel because he was righteous, the world persecutes the true people of God. What is happening in the Middle East and in Africa, especially against Christians? Thousands and thousands of people are murdered. Their property is confiscated. They are ejected from their country in which they lived since the first century. James told us about such suffering. Let me read from chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Through 4, consider it, sir, pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. James 5 verse 4, look, the wages you failed to pay, the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Or James 5, 6, you have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. But thank God that this life is not just sufferings. In God's mercy, we experience sufferings and times of prosperity, times of troubles and times of joy. And St. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 4, we are hard pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Paul spoke of his life this way, 2 Corinthians 6, through glory and dishonor, bad report, good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. In this life we experience laughter and tears. Only in heaven we experience pure joy without sorrow. So we read in Revelation 21, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Friends, who are we? Let me tell you who we are. We are born of the Spirit, born of God, and born of God's Word. The life of God is in our soul. God Himself is in us and with us. So Isaiah 43, we read, but now this is what the Lord says. Listen to what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And not only that, we are not alone. We are members of Christ's one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. And love one another and care for one another deeply in the love of Christ. So you read 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. And Peter says again, 1 Peter 2:17, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Friends, love never fails. Our text, James 5:13, speaks first problems, pain, troubles, sufferings, especially because we are people of God. Problem. Is any one of you suffers evil? Let him pray. Is anyone feels happy in his spirit, let him sing praise to God. James spoke of the sufferings of the prophets in chapter 5, verse 10. And he uses the same word. Not only the prophets and the apostles of old, but true children of God of all ages experience sufferings. Physical, mental, spiritual, financial, as well as trouble in one's own family where the parents hate Jesus Christ or children hate Jesus Christ. You don't have to go outside of your house to suffer persecution. In this suffering, he is not speaking about sickness. He will refer to sickness in verses 14, 15, and 16. He says, if any one of you suffers. This means some suffers, but not all in the church. Thank God for it. So when you suffer, I can come and help you. And when I suffer, you can come and help me. We are dependent on God and on one another. If any one of you, means any one of you in the church, suffers in the present tense continuously. Friends, no believer in Jesus Christ is exempt from suffering for his name. So in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7, we read, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And genuine faith people will persevere to the end. False, fake, plastic Christians, their foot shall slip in due time. They smile and they receive your benefits, and then they will go someplace else. Jesus calls us to follow him to death. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone come after me, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me to death. And 1 Peter 2:21, the chief apostle says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps of suffering. Jesus Christ was crucified. Stephen was stoned to death. James was beheaded. So was Paul. James, the brother of Jesus, was murdered. Peter was crucified as Jesus predicted. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:5-12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen what Jesus said in John 15:18-19. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But we don't belong to the world. We belong to God. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's what church, ecclesia, means, chosen out of the world. That is why the world hates you. John 16:2, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. So let us not evangelize by speaking of cheap grace and easy Christianity of health and wealth and power. Tell the truth, church. Jesus gives you eternal life, so follow him to death. Be convinced that death cannot separate us from the love of God. By saving faith, we are united to the risen Christ forevermore. By his death, Jesus Christ defeated our death together with all his and our enemies. If God is for us, I ask you, who can be against us? So listen to Peter. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. It's normal, sir. The world is against you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed, when Christ comes. 1 Peter 4:16, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. 1 Peter 4:19, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Well, let's see what St. Paul is saying to us. the same word is used, suffer evil in these places. 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, isn't that wonderful? You tell the man who wants to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, tell him, endure hardship. Be faithful till death. Take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2 verse 9, for which I am suffering. Kakopato. For which I am suffering evil, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, kakopateson, an imperative. 2 Corinthians 11, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. And listen to the writer of the epistle to the Hebrews. Listen, wake up. Don't ever follow Jesus Christ to get healthy and wealthy and powerful. Hebrews 11, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others, still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. Maybe speaking about Isaiah. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. It is happening right now. God's people. Problem? And point number two, pray. 1 Peter 5, 7, cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Prayer, friends, is the best medicine for our sorrows. When we suffer affliction, we are not to murmur or complain, we are to pray to God. And we are to pray continually. It's in the present tense, it's our duty. We are God's children by adoption. We call Him Abba, Father, by the Holy Spirit. As children of the Heavenly Father, we are given the right to approach our Father in heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. So we read Ephesians 2:18, for through Him we both have, not had or will have, we have right now, access to the Father by one Spirit. What a blessing it is that we have a right to pray and God will hear our prayers. In Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and grace, find grace to help us in our time of need. You pray and He gives you mercy and grace. Or Hebrews 10 verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Don't ever come to Him in your own name. but in the name of Jesus Christ. He is our atonement. By His blood, our sins have been forgiven and made fit and competent to come to God's presence. We can pray to the Heavenly Father to deliver us from evil, as Jesus taught us to pray. Friends, He does not hear the sinner's prayer, but He hears and answers His children's prayer. Jesus taught us that everyone asks, everyone who asks receives. Psalm 65 verse 2 says, God is a prayer-hearing God. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. We have a prayer-hearing, infinite, personal, compassionate, holy God. He is waiting to hear your prayer. He says elsewhere, pray without ceasing. In Psalm 91, verse 14 and 15, He tells us to pray because we love God. Psalm 91, because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Do you love God, sir? I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him. And Psalm 34, 6 and verse 15, let me read. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. Do you pray, friends? And 1 John 5, 14 and 15 instructs us we must pray in God's will. That is according to the Bible. And you don't read the Bible, you don't know how to pray. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. And not only that, we must pray in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of Allah or anybody else. There is no salvation in anyone else. There is no other name under heaven given among men that we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Based on His person and based on what He did in making atonement for our sins. John 14, and I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. And when you pray, make sure you pray in faith. James 1 verse 6, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Pray in faith, in God, in His word. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God is not a man that he should change his mind. Let God be true and every man a liar. And we pray daily, Psalm 55, 17 and 18, evening, morning and noon, I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. That's what Daniel, the busy man, did. Three times he prayed. And God heard his prayer. And you say you are very busy. You cannot go on without reading the word and praying if you are a Christian. Your money will not save you, sir. All of your systems are going to shut down. And somebody will have to take care of you 24 hours a day. But don't worry. you belong to Christ. Neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God. Well, God hears our prayers because we obey Him. 1 John 3:21 and 22, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And when you pray, pray more fervently, more earnestly, more intensely. As Jesus Himself prayed, Hebrews 5:7, during the days of His life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverent submission. Don't pray, take it or leave it way. Pray, oh Lord, there is nobody who can help us. Only You can help us. Like the Syrophoenician woman prayed. Yes, I'm a dog, I'm nothing. But dog must eat from the table of the master. Please help. And Jesus Himself said, great is your faith. Now listen to what we are told about the prayer of Jesus, Luke 22, and being in anguish, He prayed more earnestly, ektenesteron, more earnestly, more intensely, more fervently, more insistently. And His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Pray in the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, in the power of the Spirit, in the direction of the Spirit, in the enlightenment of the Spirit. Spirit-controlled prayer. And pray in agreement with other believers, Matthew 18:19 and 20, again I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask, it will be done for you by My Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in My name, there I am in the midst to help you. And 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, no matter what happens, grace will be sufficient. No matter what happens, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about My weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. And not only that, pray, fasting and praying. Acts chapter 13, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for Me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed. You see, when you fast, you are showing intensity, earnestness. We need God to help us. Nobody else is able to help me. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And finally, pray and wait for God's answer. Psalm 5:1-3, give ear to My words, O Lord, consider My sighing. Listen to My cry for help, My King and My God, for to You I pray in the morning, O Lord. You hear My voice in the morning. I lay My request before You and wait in expectation. Too much money makes us independent and godless. Why should I pray? Well, sir, I don't trust in money. I trust in Jesus Christ who gave me eternal life. He said, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. Now let's look at the example of Jesus. Matthew 26:36-39. I will read it to you. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. The Son of God became sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Look at the example of St. Paul. You know what happened to him in Acts 16. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. Acts 16:25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. All that money is not helping us in our prayer. It gives us a false sense of security. Historian Eusebius speaks of the Lord's brother James, his habit of prayer. His knees grew hard like a camel's knees because of his constant worship of God, kneeling and asking forgiveness for his people. The third point, prosperity, question mark, praise God. So 4 points, problems, pain, troubles, pray. And you are going to have problems. Thank God that's not the only thing we have. You don't fight with your wife all the time. Yeah, thank God there are good times in life. So I want to talk to you about that. So the third point is prosperity. Are you happy? Thank God that life in this sinful world does not consist only in troubles, in miseries, in pain, in hardship. But we enjoy happy times also. We are already in the kingdom of God. As children born of God. And we are told the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. When we pray, God hears and delivers us from our troubles. We have a sympathizing high priest. Don't you forget it. Who helps Abraham's descendants because he himself suffered. When he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So if anyone is happy, prosperous, it does not always mean all our troubles are gone. We are able to be happy in the midst of troubles. So are you happy? Youth to May, it speaks of the state of our emotions, of our spirits, rather than outward circumstance. It may be different, it may be the same, but God is able to make us rejoice. St. Paul says, we rejoice in tribulations also. So Paul exhorts the Philippians from his prison cell in Rome to rejoice. Philippians 4, 4 through 7, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In fact, this word euthumeo is used in Acts chapter 27, verse 22 and 25. Now let me read it to you. They are having huge trouble. The ship is adrift. They haven't eaten for days. And Paul speaks to them, but now I urge you to keep your courage. That's the word. Be happy. Because not one of you will be lost. There is a pretty good reason to be happy. Not one of you will die. Only the ship will be destroyed. Why do you say that, St. Paul? He says, last night, angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. That means you have to arrive there. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. See, God is telling you to rejoice for a reason. He will save you. He'll take care of you. And Acts 27, verse 25, so keep up your courage. Euthumete. Be happy. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Sir, when you have faith in God, you rejoice. Whether external circumstances change or remain the same, you rejoice in God. We can be in good spirits even if the external circumstance looks bleak. We are united with Christ. His Holy Spirit dwells in us forever. The Spirit of love, peace, and joy. So trust God in all situations. And rejoice in the Lord always. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh yes, life has weeping and joy. Psalm 34, verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. Rejoice in the Lord always. Those who look to him are radiant. Moses was with God 40 days and 40 nights, and his face was shining. You cannot go to God in prayer and come out miserable. In prayer, you are seeing God. In the Word, you are seeing God. You are encouraged. You are built up. Your sins are forgiven. And you come out singing with your face radiant. Our temporal conditions change. Now afflicted and now happy. In both situations, we worship God in prayer and we praise God. If you read Psalm 107, several times it says this, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress, and let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men." In our trouble, we cried out to the Lord, and God delivered them, and they thanked God in praise. Listen to St. Paul, what he says in Philippians 4, 12 and 13. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned," see, "the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And then he concludes by saying, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." And now the fourth point, praise to God. If anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise to God. The unbeliever curses God when he is in trouble and praises himself when he is happy. He says, "I did it my way." Not so a true believer. He knows that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. In all situations, therefore, he worships God in prayer and in songs of praise. Jesus was facing the death of the cross, and he said, "My appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover." And we are told after the celebration of the Passover, they sang a hymn to God. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus praised God in song as he faced the cruel death of the cross. So, James says, when happy, sing. Sing to God. It is a present imperative. We sing continuously. Why are we happy? Jesus Christ died for my sins. And Jesus Christ is raised from the dead for my justification. I am saved. I am saved from the wrath of God. I am saved forever. In my place, Christ went to hell. And I am in Christ. And he brought me to paradise. I am seated with Christ and with all the saints in heavenly places. And I join with all the saints to sing in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." True believers in Jesus Christ are spirit-born people, spirit-indwelt people. They are spirit-filled people. And I say they are a singing people. And we read in Acts 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas, they were stripped, they were beaten. They fastened their feet in the stocks and placed them in the innermost cell for security. And now we read, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. And Paul tells us in Romans 15, verse 9, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Let's stop complaining and murmuring and finding fault. Let's pray and let's praise God. In 1 Corinthians 14, 15, Paul says, so what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. Pray with my spirit means speaking in tongues. But I'll pray with my mind means in the language of the people. Then he says, I will sing with my spirit, and I will also sing with my mind. 1 Corinthians 14, 26, what then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn. We are a singing people, sir. And in the midst of all problems, we are singing because we are spirit-filled people. So we read in Ephesians 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Then five participles connected to this imperative, pleroustē. Be being filled. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. When we are spirit-filled, we will do all these things. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, infinite personal God is within us, making us competent and able to do all what God wants us to do. We sing, sir, the word of God. Not just any song the crowd sings, we sing to the praise of God's grace, not for our entertainment or fun. So we reject outright most of the singing of the modern church because they are designed for entertainment. We in this church sing for God's glory. The spirit-filled Christian is an obedient Christian. A happy Christian, a singing Christian. We sing because God defeated Pharaoh, our enemy. God defeated the devil. God defeated death by Christ's death. God in Christ set us free from all our fears. God has given us eternal life and eternal joy, so we sing. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Isaiah 36 and 37. Isaiah 36 speaks of the serious problem the godly king Hezekiah faced. The Assyrian Sennacherib threatened Judah with utter defeat and extinction. And chapter 37 speaks about the prayer and deliverance and praise. The king went to the temple and prayed. He requested the prophet Isaiah also to pray. God heard their prayers. One angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. The king himself returned to his land only to be murdered by his sons. And I say the people of God began to sing. The Lord prospered his people and they praised God. This God is our God. And let us pray to him and praise him at all times. Listen to what you read recently and be amazed. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him, dear friends. Now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Children of God, God lavished his love upon us, that he would send his own son to die for us and for our salvation. Friends, this church is a praying church. This church is a singing church. Because here we preach the word of God, the gospel of our glorious salvation in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. May God grant you all mercy and grace to repent and believe in this only Savior, that you may pray with us, that you may sing with us on all occasions to God's glory and your everlasting comfort. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the word that you inspired James to write. And Lord, troubles, pray. Good times, praise God. Lord, that's what life in this world is. It's a mixture. And when we come to heaven, only joy. No more weeping, no more tears, because no more sin. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your great mercy. Amen.